All right, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Get Tanked Happy Hour, powered by Green Legion Radio and brought to you by Bud Light. Well, I'll tell you, it's after the Super Bowl, and I would still pipe Sean's girlfriend.
I choked on my beer for a second. Wow.
Sean's girlfriend, because that's the only good image about football I have in my head from over the last week and a half. Not going to lie.
I was about to say, is that the only thing that you took away from this Super Bowl?
That's it, man. That's it. All I took away. I could care less.
Well, yeah, you know, a lot of the fans, I was on Twitter with my boy Hugh Douglas and Trey T and Andy. A lot of us were looking at the first half, and we thought that a lot of people thought the fix was in because of the discrepancy in officiating calls. So I end up dubbing it the ref bowl. You make the call. I was like, are you shitting me? You roll out and you keep on talking about the first time it's a woman out there officiating, and then they roll out this pile of crap. The way they call this game was horrible.
Did anybody tap her in the butt? There were odds on that somewhere.
I don't know what
sports book was rolling the line out for tapping the female ref on the bottom.
Oh, man, that's got to be some type of HR thing that's going on right there.
and just so everybody knows, the streaker odds, that was a complete hoax. When you clicked on that link or whatever it was, it went to some dude's porn site. So, you still got something out of it, but somebody did not make $365,000 to go streaking. But well, and speaking of Vegas odds, your Philadelphia Eagles, according to William Hill Sportsbook, right now are the least favored team to win to make it to the Super Bowl in the 2021-2022 season. So, if you were wondering how tumultuous and shitty the whole situation is over at the NovaCare Complex, well, now you know.
Well, Quimby, whatever do you mean?
Why, Hollis? Whatever do you mean?
Have we crossed? The situation over there is, if you want me to, I can tell you a little bit about it. It has been described as the Game of Thrones and how he's currently at the top. Yeah. So it's kind of bad over there.
Bring your microphone over in front of you a little bit more.
Okay, is that better?
Not closer to you.
Is that better?
That's what we're talking about.
Awesome sauce.
We were talking about this earlier. Go ahead, tell them what you know.
I did hear that it was being run like a Game of Thrones over there. A lot of the guys are pissed off because they didn't feel like they gave Deuce a shot. Doug was pissed off. You know he's pissed off because he was not happy coming to work every day, and the way that they was doing the coaching staff and him not having a say, and then him saying something in the media and then they turn around and doing totally the opposite. And then just not knowing what the fuck is going on over there. And then Carson apparently doesn't have a problem with Doug. Oh, he has a problem with Howie.
How crazy is that leak? Yeah. All right. And first of all, Carson, I had
one more thing to add. I've talked to some people, and some of the articles that are out that are saying Carson's an asshole are completely incorrect. I wanted to make sure before I gave that step of approval that he's an asshole, because I know the people I asked, they will tell me the truth, and I asked them. Was he the asshole that they were making him out to be? They was like, it's clearly not. They don't know him, and they clearly don't know him. That they clearly not been around him when he's around his team. Everybody loves him, and I equated that to when everybody came back. You remember his softball game? God, that's your downtime. When guys come back and give you their downtime, that means they're for you. So it comes back to that elephant in the room. Go ahead, talk about him.
I'm not gonna buy that. Right from the beginning. And the reason being, if in fact Carson has issues with the guy who gave him an outrageous contract, with 108, 114, mm-hmm. whatever it was, million guaranteed.
Yep.
Before you played a single snap of playoff football. Let's say that again. You got a contract guaranteed over 100 million before he played a single snap
of
playoff football.
Do you think he was dangling that carrot in his face when he was when everything was going on? Remember, I said it's like a Game of Thrones. Look what I've done for you.
It doesn't matter. I mean, you're talking about a guy who's regressed over
immensely
over the years, especially since his injury. They say his eye level is all over the place. Apparently, that's a big thing in the NFL. I didn't know about that until recently, but. You know, he's not the same quarterback, and you got a gift, Carson. Let me say this one more time. You got a gift. You got a gift, and you were embraced by the fan base after that took place.
Mm-hmm.
And you have treated this gift like, you know,
like a poo-poo platter.
Yeah, like, hey man, I just got a new car, and I'm ready to turn this son of a bitch in. I'm not down with that. Whether or not he's got a problem with Doug, whether he's got a problem with teammates, whether he's got a problem with general manager, if he has a problem with any of them,
mm-hmm.
based on the amount of confidence they had in you without performance, man, that'll get up in my craw, bro. Get right up in there.
The other point that got up in my craw was him not saying anything, like coming out and at least trying to defend himself a little bit. Like just come out and say the things that you heard are not true, mainly because there you go. Is that better?
Yeah, I think
is that, so. Okay. Well, there you go. Mainly because if the things are not true, as a man or a human being in general, when somebody lies on you, dude, you get I know I get irate, and I come out and I immediately let you know that shit's not true. But the fact that he hasn't given the fans that, and I think it would have been hard for him to even come back and go out on the field, because the moment he messes up, everybody's going to be like, oh, okay, everything that they were saying was true because you didn't come out and give us not a total explanation, but at least say it's not true.
Right, right. And you know what? I'm not all about results. I mean, you know, I get it. Some things need to be worked on, but. Man, yeah, you know, you were terrible this year, and you haven't said anything at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what I hate about this organization the most. Peterson gets fired, makes no statement whatsoever. Carson's been benched, you know, for the last 3 weeks last month of the season, and I don't know if you call him, the last month of the season, and he hasn't said squat. He hasn't said anything in 8+ weeks, and you go. I want to hear something. Somebody say something, for God's sake.
Quit trying to.
If you're Pat Burrell in the 2007 season or 2006 season, and you're in Boston and you're batting 0.068, I want you to break a bat over your knee when you strike out. I want you to do something. Give me some emotion. Show me something that you give that. Emulates that you give a single shit about what's going on. But hey, real quick, man, let me get to this.
Okay. We did run off on a tangent. Go ahead.
Yeah, we did. Everybody, you download, rate, review, or subscribe to Green Legion Radio on iTunes or Google Play by searching for Green Legion Radio. Also, the easiest thing to do is just download the iHeartRadio app. You can get all three of our shows, the flagship show, Green Legion Radio, and the two podcasts. The one you're listening to right now, Get Tank to Happy Hour with Tank and myself. And as well, Ice to Shorts, Winter Sports, Chris Sack, and Michael Diaz will be on right after us this evening at 8 p.m. They're going to talk Flyers. They're going to talk Sixers. They're going to talk Phillies. So we're going to talk all football today. Mm-hmm. And we're going to make sure that you get your full fix of the pigskin. And then mm-hmm. the boys, we're going to tag the boys in and let them take care of the rest of Philadelphia sports this evening. But Green Legion Radio is also brought to you by our good friends at Bud Light. John Dorenzi, thank you once again for making all this happen for us. Our good friends at Stateside Vodka, not only Stateside Vodka is Stateside Vodka anymore, it's also Stateside Bourbon. Mm-hmm. Premium vodka and bourbon distilled right in historic Fishtown. MCS Construction Services, the largest residential contractor in the Philadelphia area. TheNextSip.com, hands-free, COVID-approved drinking. Put it around your neck. There's a straw, reaches your mouth. You don't have to touch your drink ever again. All the Cavanaugh's restaurants, Cavanaugh's Riverdeck, Cavanaugh's Head House, Cavanaugh's Rittenhouse, and our good friend Paul working the basement bar, and of course, University City Cavanaugh at 39th and Sansom. All the beautiful ladies over at Delilah's waiting for you to come back and help them all get through med school.
Yeah.
And of course, all of our City Fitness Philadelphia locations. What are they? Graduate Hospital, Fishtown, Northern Liberties, and Market East, East Market. There's another one in there I can't think of right now. I'm doing it off of memory. Sorry, Ken Davies, but all City Fitness Philadelphia locations. If you're getting back in shape and you're getting rid of that COVID weight, make sure you sign up and join City Fitness in one of these locations. If you are across the bridge, make sure you do it at our good friends over at Echelon Health and Fitness. Hollis, what happened this week in sports history and what happened this week in tank history?
Well, today is February the 9th. It's the 40th day of the year. There's 325 of these puppies left. We're going to start right off with national holidays. Today is National Chocolate Day. It's also National Pizza Day. And it's also Read in the Bathtub Day, which I'm going to do right after we do this. I'm going to hit the jacuzzi. It's also Extraterrestrial Culture Day. I'm going to go straight to the events in 1942. For temporarily, the Phillies were called the Phils for just a year or so. And in 1943, the National League and National League of Baseball sought a new buyer for the Philadelphia Phillies because the owner, Jerry Nugent, was messing stuff up. In 1960, AFL and NFL had a verbal agreement for no tampering pact. In 1991, the stoppage of Sugar Ray Leonard's career by Sweet Terry Norris. I don't know if you saw that fight. It was the funniest shit known to man. And then I got a couple of quick birthdays here. Today in 1943 is Joe Pesci's birthday. 1945, Bill Berge. 1946, Vince Papale. 1947, singer Major Harris. I just said that because I like his name, Major Harris. He had Major a couple Harris. Of hits. Yes. 1949, Judith Light. And 1987, Michael B. Jordan. Now, I took the liberty of talking. Today, I was going to talk about after we lost the Super Bowl party.
Okay.
And it was like a party like you would have thought we won. We had the Black Eyed Peas performing there. That's the first time I've seen everybody from the front office, White Girl Wasted. I don't know if you know what White Girl Wasted is. I don't know if you know what that is. but I lost my sport coat. I lost my sport coat to my suit. I witnessed a bunch of girls throwing up in a fountain that was in the hotel. a bunch of front office girls that were throwing up in the hotel. And also, I was talking to the Black Eyed Peas and stuff, and I didn't even know it. That's how drunk I was.
Attaboy. So you were White Girl Wasted too.
I was Tank Dog Wasted because I didn't dry heave or hurl or anything, but I just woke up with the rest of my suit on. I woke up with the rest of my suit, and this is how you know that you're super drunk. I woke up with not only my suit on, but my shoes on still.
Nice.
But it was one of the best drunks that I've been in quite some time after L, because it kind of took the sting off the L, and you kind of if you came in the party, you'd never know we lost. But I the next day I was brutal. You know how those next days can be, don't you? Yeah, it was one of those days. It was just like if we'd have won, it would have been so much greater. and so I was watching the rest of the Super Bowl and then on Sunday and them putting out everything, I was like, even though it's COVID down there, something tells me they're going to be partying until probably Tuesday. I bet they just stopped partying right now because everything was outdoors. And then that's on the way back. We came back and you know, that's when everybody started talking about Donovan threw up. A lot of people appeared on the Angelo Cataldi show and was saying Donovan threw up.
Yep. We know. Well, I'm gonna take the reins here for a hot second because not even myself as bad of a gambler as I can wind up being sometimes, could be as much of a mush as what took place on Sunday. It was, and Tank's adjusting some mic settings right now, you guys. He's going to weigh in here in just a second. Everything we thought Andy Reid was, it looks like Andy Reid is. And you have to wonder, and we're going to bring this up. We're going to talk about this for a hot second. You have to wonder if, in fact, he was – if his mind was not on the game, if in fact, he was thinking about what happened with his son and the problems that are going to ensue there. It didn't look like he was in it, man. It looked like he was the play calling was atrocious. Mahomes was atrocious. Yep. Tyreek Hill should have caught that touchdown pass, even though he was in double coverage. That ball was in his hands.
Yeah, he normally comes down with that. Is that my better?
It's not better right now, but that's okay. We'll roll with it. Maybe it's on my end. You never know.
Yeah, because you did freeze up earlier.
Yeah, we never know. I'm hardwired right now, but we'll figure it out. So
me too. I'm hardwired. You made me go buy it.
I'm just I'm the one that created the broadcast, so it has to go through me. But anyway, you wonder whether or not his head was in the game, but. Just so everybody knows, we're going to take a walk here down memory lane, because this was not in any way, shape, or form one of the biggest shellackings in Super Bowl history. Matter of fact, I have 9 Super Bowls that were a bigger shellacking than this one, and we can well. We're going to talk about them right now. I'm going to start from the bottom and work my way up on that list I sent you, brother. Super Bowl number 1. Okay, this is the 1966-1967 season. I don't know if anybody here that's listening was old enough to appreciate that game. I wasn't born yet. Tank wasn't born yet. But that was Vince Lombardi's routing of the Chiefs while he was obviously with the Packers. 35-10 mm-hmm. was the score or margin of victory of 25. The next Super Bowl, this one eats at me more than any Super Bowl. Yeah, I know it eats at you too, bro. And I hate bringing it up because it's a painful memory. After the Bucs beat the Eagles in the final game at Veterans Stadium, in Super Bowl 37, they go from beating us to playing the Raiders in the Super Bowl, and they just shellacked them 48-21. And at 21 points, wasn't even
it wasn't
indicative of the game. There was a late touchdown there, and you know, they weren't in it the entire time. Super Bowl 35, the 2000-2001 season, the Ravens beat the Giants 34-7. That's a pretty good shellacking. Only 7 points. You know, at least it was a touchdown. More we could say for the fucking Chiefs this week.
3 field goals.
Well, we're getting to that, man. Don't worry. We're getting to that. But Super Bowl 18, the 1983-84 season, the Raiders over the Redskins 38-9.
Whoa.
Yeah. Super Bowl 22, the 87-88 season, 42-10, the Redskins over the Broncos.
Yeah, the Broncos have been on the receiving ends of a few of these.
The Broncos and
New England.
They have been on the ass end of a prison rape a few times, and not proud.
Oh God!
Super Bowl 48. This is a tough one, man. This is when Peyton Manning goes to the Broncos. They play the Seahawks. This is the 2013-2014 season, the most recent of these shellackings. The Seahawks over the Broncos, if you remember that. It wasn't even a game. 43-8.
Yeah, from the word go.
Yeah, they never let off the throttle. Mm-hmm. Then you have Super Bowl 27, and I hate bringing them up, but this is certainly worthy of a shellacking. 1992-93 season, 52-17, the Cowboys over the Bills. Now, it gets worse.
Yes, it does.
Super Bowl 20, this is the only thing we can take solace in the fact that the Patriots were on the losing end. This is the 1985-1986 season, and the Bears beat the Patriots 46-10. That was your fringe. Yep. Team that was your
defense.
Just defense. That's your Buddy Ryan defense.
Yes,
right there. No shot the Patriots had whatsoever. They didn't have a shot from go. I think they were 18-point underdogs in that game. Of course, the biggest shellacking was Super Bowl 24, the 1989-1990 season, when the 49ers beat the Broncos again on the losing end of one of the worst margins of victory, 55-10. Wow. It's kind of brutal. But the fact is, the Broncos have two or three more in there in the modern era. So wins where, you know, Elway has one or two. Two, right? You got to unmute yourself there, baby.
Elway has two.
Two, right?
Yeah, Elway has back-to-back.
Yeah, so they have three. And not back-to-back, no.
Yeah, they did. They beat Green Bay, and then they turn around and beat remember when Eugene Robinson, the Falcons, that next year?
Yeah, you're right. And then, of course, you got one with Peyton Manning the year after that Seahawks game.
So it's
a roller coaster ride over in Denver. One I'd be happy to take, considering we can only go up from here, everybody. But once again, William Hill today, sportsbook, Philadelphia Eagles are the lowest odds team to make it to the Super Bowl this next season. So it's kind of brutal. Tank, tell me what you feel. I don't think you've been on a team where this took place, but if you're a player, I just give me some sort of indication what that locker room for the Chiefs was like after one of the most – look, what Tampa Bay's defense is formidable. There's right. No doubt. And they were we'll use our favorite get tank term. Here right now, they were hungry. They were hungry on Sunday, but
they called everybody dies.
tell me what you think the locker room was like
before or after?
After, when this is the most potent offense in the league, next to the Buffalo Bills in the regular season. I believe the Chiefs were number two,
right?
But just laying a goose egg on touchdowns. What goes on in the locker room there? What can possibly make you feel better other than the fact that, all right, well, we're undefeated for next season already?
Well, the first thing I think a lot of people are going to say is that his mind was on his son, on what his son was going through, and he probably should have passed the reins of call. He should have just probably let Bieniemy call everything, because you could tell that Andy had his hands all over it. It was just all the stuff that I from the Super Bowl that we were in. You come out trying to pass the ball and stuff, and yes, they're number one versus the run, but you pass the ball right away, it's not going to make nothing happen. But to get your ass kicked.
We have some comments here. Jay Magnetti, I laugh every time I see a Bud Light can practically get lost in Hollis's giant mitt. David Harris thinks that everybody's smoking weed in Denver. That's half their problem. And David Harris also says, Tampa defense brought the wood.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry. Continue, brother.
Well, the one thing, too, that I think a lot of us took for granted was they played them before early in the year. And I think that they thought they were going to have some of the same success. And I don't know why you don't think that Todd Bowles is smart enough to take the thing that was killing them away from you. It was a lot of plays that was meant for Tyreek Hill that they just double covered him on. They didn't double cover him last time, and that was their fatal mistake. And then it was right there for the taking. And Travis Kelce, he came up short a few times on some passes that he normally catches. So it was enough blame to pass around offensively, but you got to start somewhere with the coaching, because you throw the ball all those times expecting your quarter. You know that they're coming, and they're coming like a fastball pitch. Every time you cock your arm back, you got to get something quick out of there. And you know that you're a screen team, that you're a screen coach. So they're not giving you shit. And it was evident. And they had it in their mind that they're going to take them out, and they're going to take them out hard and fast. Giggity.
David Harris, how about LeSean McCoy, Shady, winning his second ring and didn't even play? That's kick-ass.
Didn't even have to touch the field.
That's annoying. That's annoying.
It is. Sometimes is it. It's only annoying if he comes up and tries to throw it in your face like he actually did something to help.
Yeah. I got to be honest with you. Of all the prop bets we laid out, and again, I told you guys, you know, prop bets are – I called the over. I called the Chiefs. I think most people did. Mm-hmm. So, you know, even I'm not capable of mushing that much. But The one that bothers me the most is that fat son of a bitch couldn't call a fucking timeout before the Buccaneers did.
Wow.
Yeah. I laid a nickel on that one, man. I'm like, there's no way I'm losing this. Andy Reid's going to call a errant timeout in the first quarter because he doesn't like what he's seeing. Where they don't get a play in time,
right?
You know, there's the root of all his timeout evil right there. And come on, dude, you can't just be yourself for a little bit, you know?
He didn't, I figured he was going to call a timeout. I need you to
do two things that you do consistently. Eat off of somebody else's plate and call an early timeout, you fat son of a bitch.
Yeah, I thought it was going to come up, too, because they were handling their business versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They couldn't do shit versus the Bucs. And it was just horrible. You can't even yell at the screen. Only thing you can yell at the screen is tell the referees to get the hell out of the way.
This is true. They weren't letting them play.
No. They weren't letting the Chiefs play. They were letting the Bucks play like a son of a buck.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you. You know what? We got a lot to talk about. Let's take our first break. We're almost 30 minutes in. Guys, we're only going to go about an hour tonight, and then we're going to let the boys relieve us at 8 o'clock. We'll give you a chance to go get something to eat, grab a drink because you listen to us too much. Get tanked with us tonight, and then go bother the shit out of Diaz and Sack at 8 p.m. East Coast. You guys, Green Legion Radio, the Get Tanked Happy Hour, brought to you by Bud Light. We'll be back right after this. All right, everybody, Get Tanked Happy Hour, powered by Green Legion Radio and brought to you by Bud Light. My name is Quimby. I'm alongside NFL legend Hollis Tank Thomas. We're talking Super Bowl. We're talking Andy Reid. We're talking Shady. We're talking, well, you know what we haven't really talked about? We haven't talked about Super Sam's favorite person yet.
Tom Brady.
And you know what? We're not. I'm just... Yeah, I want to smack myself right now just for bringing his name up, but
I'm sure Sam does too.
I guess you have to give it to the guy, man. I don't want to. It annoys me, but
I'm not giving him shit.
It's still the elephant in the room, man. It's still the elephant in the room right now, and regardless of. You know what you want to say about him. It bothers me that he's been on the winning end of so many of these, and it also amazes me that one player can make such a difference in this game. I mean, you know, he is the Michael Jordan of football. He is the LeBron James of football. You have to give it to him, and it's not really. Well, I mean,
if you go back and look, you know,
is he just that lucky? You don't get lucky on a pigskin bounce in the NFL. Right. You don't get lucky winning seven Super Bowls.
Yeah, you don't. And you don't. And most of the time, every time he's went, he's had a superior defense. If you pay attention, and this is the first time that you can outright say that he outplayed the opposing team's quarterback. All the other ones, you got to look at their defense, and they were all close. Like by 3 points or less, and you still have to put in consideration. This is the first one I feel like he won without cheating. That's all I'll say. This is the first one I feel like he won without cheating. I feel like he's a good quarterback, but I have to take the greatness away because of this cheating scandals early on. And I wouldn't have took it away after the first cheating scandal, but when the second cheating scandal is you personally calling somebody the deflator, you're deflating the balls, and you're in charge of that. That's you. You're cheating, point blank. Yeah. So, and everybody says if you're not cheating, you're not trying. But most people, it comes during a game where you get an edge during the game, and you hear something, and the team continues to go back to it. You don't get to do shit like they were doing before the game, and they continually got busted doing it. They continue. Right. McDaniels got fired from Denver. Is it this way or this way?
Get in front of your microphone.
Josh McDaniels, he got fired at Denver for doing the same thing that they were doing there. And then they got busted this year trying to tape the Bengals. So I feel like he's good, but I don't feel like he's great. I feel like what he did for Tampa Bay was he brought that winning edge because everybody's been kissing his ass since the beginning of time. And I still don't think he's the GOAT. You have to put all this stuff into consideration and ball it up and just give it to him. He's good. He's been at the right place at the right time.
You don't want to give it to him, huh?
Nope.
I don't know, man. I just
asked you a question.
Well, you know what? I also forgot. Last week we were. We were happy and proud uncles in the Green Legion family with Michael Diaz bringing mm-hmm. Morgan Michael and Abby Diaz bringing in Morgan yep. Catherine
yes.
to the world. Yeah. Our IT and website designer for the last 12 years, Chad Gingrich, mm-hmm. and his wife Katie, just days apart, brought Cecilia Catherine into the world. So we have another Green Legionnaire. However, Diaz, she is not and will not be able to sign up for the Mike Diaz fan club. I am sorry, bro. She will not be part of Diaz Nation. She is not allowed. That's a rule I laid down. But congratulations to Chad and Katie. We are extremely happy for them, their first child as well. It's
they said Monroe, dumbass.
Huh?
Some of the ladies are saying the baby.
Oh, Monroe. Why would I say Morgan Catherine? Monroe Catherine. I'm sorry. This is why I'm single. This is how fast I forget females' names. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. Monroe Catherine. My bad. But anyway, so let's talk about the Britt Reed situation for a second because
okay.
This is not the elephant in the room, but this is the cheetah in the room that's hiding behind the grass.
Oh God.
And it also has to be talked about. Chris Sack made it apparent and it was an extremely valid and excellent point on Sunday's Super Bowl show.
Right.
And you know, you got a single mother of three and she's dealing with a 5-year-old that's, you know, fighting for her life right now. Her medical bills are going to be through the roof. They started up a GoFundMe page. We're going to get that information to you for our show. We have moved to weekends, everybody, for Green Legion Radio. For the time being, we do not have the
Thursday's content.
Plan. Well, we don't have the content for an everyday show.
Okay.
And iHeart and Fox Sports, the Gambler here in Philadelphia, needed to legitimize their after 3 p.m. lineup to take advantage of national advertising dollars that the 7 markets that Fox Sports, the Gambler is in. They needed everyday shows, and we're happy. We're happy for the boys who are getting their due process. They were definitely higher on the totem pole than we are. However, there could be some really cool stuff. I personally, man, if we could own weekends on Fox Sports, the Gambler, once I get back, I think that would be fantastic. You and I doing college football shows on Saturday.
I'm a college football guy.
Yeah, and maybe and possibly even a Greg Murphy and Chris Sack diamond talk on Sundays before afternoon Phillies games.
Yep,
would love that. And of course, Green Legion Radio, if and when all this stuff gets back to normal, we will be back at Xfinity Live for all of our home games. And when and if that takes place, the plan this year was to build the Fox Sports The Gambler studio and stage right there at 1100 Social. Build it and you know, take advantage of 11th and Patterson, the busiest corner of Philadelphia, on football Sundays at home during home games, and you know, special pregame show during our tailgates. That's where we really want to be, and hopefully, we're going to get that back. So, I'm excited about the weekend opportunities. It's going to give us the opportunity to do a lot of remotes. If you guys own any type of business where foot traffic is essential, we'll be able to come out to your place of business on Saturdays or Sundays. You know, Sundays not during football season. But anything else, you know, we'll be able to come to your bar. We'll be able to, you know, bring people out.
Toga party Saturdays?
Yeah, we'll party Saturday night with you guys.
Toga party Saturdays.
We should have Get Tanked from 8 to 10 p.m. on a Saturday night. And we should have a bar lined up for these shows every week of the year, especially during the summer. So we're excited about that, and hopefully that will evolve into us owning weekends, because there is plenty of space for us there. And you know, until we justify ourselves as a powerhouse in the market, which we are not, you got Eitan and Jansen and Sean Brace, and they're going to be taking the helm right now for weekdays, and we're happy that they're supporting us in our cause. So, you know, as good brothers and sisters should do in the Fox Sports The Gambler family, we'll be supporting them as well. So, look for us. We're 1 to 3 p.m. Saturdays now, which means we're also going to be pre-taping our shows on Thursday now, from 6 to 8, no longer on Wednesdays. And Tank and I are going to be talking. We might move Get Tank to Tuesdays just so we can get past Sunday fun day and not have to worry about crawling my ass out of bed on Monday.
Well, speaking of crawling, guess who just joined us? Rex.
Rexy,
sexy Rexy, where you at?
Rexy, what's up, baby?
He's watched us. Apparently, he's not going to be back for another 10 weeks. Damn, man.
I thought he was back already. I thought I saw pictures of him in snow.
Hey, that wasn't snow. He was in, I think he was in San Francisco.
I got you.
Oh, there you go. Okay. I think he was in San Francisco.
You shouldn't move your...
Right there? You froze again.
And you're frozen right now. There you are. He's back.
All
right.
No, you were froze.
We're both froze, I guess. So. Okay. We're dealing with it. It's still Costa Rica internet, everybody. We're figuring it out. But let's get back to the Britt Reid story. Because,
yeah.
I mean, this is depressing.
Yeah, it was
in every way, shape, or form. And you wonder, you know, I was making fun of him on Sunday, Tank. I'm saying, you know, here we go. Father of the year strikes again. But you're right. Britt Reid is a grown-ass man. Yeah. But I don't know. You know, my father always told me, he said, the thing that I worry most about you is that you're going to be wrapped around a tree driving home from one of these places one night. You know me. I don't drive anywhere. You know, mainline Maserati is going to get a fucking vehicle back in 3 years. It's got about 7,000 miles on it.
Maybe 8 because of the Green Legion bump.
Right, exactly.
What do you
think about this whole situation? What's your take on this entire situation?
Well, I had a chance to make a couple of phone calls and to see what was really going down, and I knew he cleaned himself up for a long time, but then I heard he had a relapse. And then he came into came into work today, like not to before the week of the Super Bowl, bloodshot eyes and stuff. And Andy sent him home, and he was missing for 3 days. And then this happened.
Went on a bender.
Yeah, went on a bit of a bender. And it's like, I don't know if he's just. It's like I know he watched his brother do what he did, and it's like it's not like it's not an example there of the way you shouldn't go. And right. But you know it's extremely difficult to go that way. But come on, man. It's like the part that I felt like it was Andy part because he enabled this early on in life. I saw this when they were kids. When Britt and when they were kids, you could tell that they were going awry and there was some things that was going wrong. And it was like they never nipped it in the bud. And it just started to snowball. And here we are now. I thought he had got his shit together because what happened to his brother.
Well, I mean, we all know Garrett was.
Garrett, yeah.
He was so far beyond.
Yeah. But Garrett had got his shit together. But then he relapsed too. So it's like, what the hell is making them relapse?
All right. Sam just said we have an echo here. So let's go to our cam settings. Go to audio. I've got my echo cancellation on. Do you, Tank? You're muted, buddy. Hold on, everybody. We're getting this straight.
Yeah, I have my echo cancellation on.
Okay. All right.
Is yours on?
Sam, you're just going to have to deal. Yeah, mine is on. We'll have to deal with it. When I get up from this break, I'm going to turn off the ceiling fan that's right above me. I'm wondering if that has something to do with it. But so anyway, the little girl's still struggling for her life.
Yeah.
Sack said on Sunday the Chiefs should just walk in and say, look, your medical bills are covered. Nip this one in the bud like the Andy Reid family household is not done. And I don't think they're going to because, you know, there's going to be a lawsuit here. There's going to be a lawsuit. And because Britt Reid is an employee of the Kansas City Chiefs, then, you know, the Chiefs are going to figure out a way to blame it on the Chiefs. There's going to be some legal loophole, yeah, which comes back to Kansas City, or, you know, they're going to be going after Britt Reid for a lot of money one way or the other. And the fact of the matter is Britt Reid has financial backing. He has it with his father. You know, I'm sure he's not making squat, but right.
Yeah, he was a Temple coach as well. So he made a nice little niche for himself. That's why I didn't think that he was going to go back this way. Cause he was born with a silver spoon in his mouth, but he didn't just like, he went through a little bit of the ranks. He was coaching at college and stuff and doing what it takes. Is that better?
There you go. Yeah. Keep it in front of you, babe.
Okay, and he was doing what it took to, you know, so he didn't get caught up in the whole situation of my dad got me here or my dad got me this job. I was like, yeah, he was a linebacker assistant. I was like, but then to go out and I don't know if Andy could have nipped this in the bud more because he came to work drunk and you send him home. Came to work.
Did he come to work drunk or did he come to work hungover?
A little bit of both, probably, with the bloodshot eyes and the whole shebang. And you send him home, but you don't. I don't know.
I don't know if you sent him home. You sent him home in a cab.
I don't know. I just heard he sent him home, told him to get the hell out of there and get himself together. And he didn't show back up for 3 days. I don't know what went down because I think he was thinking of him as dad to son. At some point, you had to kick him in the ass to even get him going, man.
Yeah. Well, obviously, he needs a little kick, and you know we'll find out in the coming months what goes down there, brother.
Yeah, and this is
stuff that we don't relish speaking about.
Yeah, you know,
it gives us content, but we don't like to talk about shit like this.
Yeah, because it's is disappointing and it's sad, especially when you got the young 5-year-old Ariel. She's laying up in, she's fighting for her life, and it's like, and it seems like everybody keeps talking about Britt. Nobody gives a shit about the little girl. She had just celebrated her birthday. Was sitting in the car.
Wow. If that doesn't give you perspective, I don't know what will, man. I don't know what will. But let's do this. Let's take our final break.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about the Wentz watch when we come back. There's But yeah, let's do that. Let's take
a break. Yeah.
Listen to a little George Clinton so far. Facebook hasn't stomped us, so we're gonna let George Clinton do that. You guys, Green Legion Radio, the Get Tanked Happy Hour with Tank and Quimby, brought to you by Bud Light. We'll be back right after this. All right, everybody, the Get Tanked Happy Hour, powered by Green Legion Radio, and brought to you by Bud Light. My name is Quimby. I am with NFL great, Eagles legend, Hollis Tank Thomas. We're going to talk a little bit about the Wentz watch right now, and then we're going to call it a night. We're going to do this for only about an hour and 15 minutes now.
What about your balance? Some people were commenting on your balance.
I really wanted to see me fall in the pool. That hasn't happened yet, bro. But again, the key word there being yet. My camera angle is different this week. Yeah, I'm kind of trying to rub it in a little bit behind all the trees and lush green that you see, and beautiful floral arrangements is the Pacific Ocean. And I don't know why my camera doesn't pick up the background, but it does definitely pick up the pool there. And if you've noticed, every week before that, I had the camera facing my living room and kitchen area, and that's all glass. And where I haven't fallen in the pool yet, I have walked
into the glass
at least five times since I've been here. Like, yes. And I'm not talking about like lightly.
Right.
I'm talking like
a gush click with because you had on your sunglasses with it. Like there's click. Nose glasses.
My cleaning lady keeps pointing it out every time she comes. She comes in twice a week, and she's like, see my nose and fucking mouth print as I have hit the glass a number of times. So, anyway, Tank.
Yes, sir.
Your Philadelphia Eagles, my Philadelphia Eagles, our Philadelphia Eagles are undefeated, baby.
Yeah, currently everybody's undefeated. A lot of people are going to try to win the season in April and May, March, April, and May. Hopefully, we don't try to do that. We try to win it during the actual season. You know what I mean when I say that?
Yep.
Everybody tries to go after the sexy free agents and stuff, and load up on sexy free agents and waste a lot of money instead of trying to sign what they already have and they're already teaching, and then they let them go. And then they go out somewhere else and flourish.
Yep.
So hopefully our birds are just do the right thing. The right thing.
Hopefully. By the way, so there's all kinds of critters around here. We all know that. We saw my scorpion roommate last week. I have a visitor every night I'm on the balcony, and it is called a langosta grasshopper.
Damn.
This is a langosta is Spanish for lobster. And these things are huge, man.
Gigantor.
Literally 6 or 7 inches long, and they're aggressive and they're mean. They don't bite, they don't have pinchers, but they'll fly right into your ass if you try to talk with them. And these idiots, they fall right in the pool. All right. They wind up getting out because they eventually find the little pool cleaner. I don't know if you can see it. It's in the corner. It's a little, you know, chlorine filled capsule on in this floating white thing. And they'll eventually find that and sit on that until they dry, and then they'll fly away. But when they come on to the balcony, these things shit like you wouldn't believe. They shit everywhere, man. It's worse than a bird.
It's worse than those giant duck turds.
I don't know about that. Like a small bird that would sit there and shit on your patio for a couple hours. So I try to knock them out. I try to get them out. And if you don't knock the thing into next week, mm-hmm. you know, you don't try to kill it. I have spaghetti tongs.
Right.
I'll, you know, grab it because they don't move too fast, and I'll throw it out into the, you know, into the brush.
Into the lush pasture
you see out here.
Into the hilly brush.
And the second they catch their senses, fly right back at you. And literally fly into you. And it's like, dude, what the hell?
That's where you should get yourself a small like swatter. It looks like one of those tennis rackets, but it's with a really tight knit and start right. We'll play baseball. Serve up.
Yep. Run them up. So the Wentz watch. All right, yes, we know right now there are two teams that are in the hunt.
Right.
The Indianapolis Colts and the Chicago Bears.
Right.
There are rumors that San Francisco made a call.
Yep, they did.
There are rumors that Houston made a call.
Yep.
We also know that Howie is probably trying to posture a little bit.
Yeah, he's trying to get the best.
Trying to drive the market. Yeah. Right. Now, according to numerous sources in Indy and Chicago, chat rooms, fan boards, fan websites, and here in Philadelphia and New Jersey, and NJ.com, apparently Howie wants two first rounders for him. And this is where I'm starting to get a little nervous. Everybody said Adam Schefter, Wentz is going to be traded very soon, probably within the week. All right, Adam, I tend to listen to everything that you say because you are 99.999% accurate all the time. I wonder right now if, in fact, Howie is going to ruin the possibility because he has too high of an asking price. Mm-hmm. And if he doesn't get that, are we going to keep Wentz? Are we going to sit on Wentz for a season? And at this point, I don't know about you, but it doesn't make any sense to me. You got to go.
Yeah. The one thing is it doesn't make any sense, really, if you sit on them that long and you still don't get what you wanted for them. The one thing that I think is going to come and it's going to happen, and it happened when we did the Samantha Bradford thing. Somebody's going to need a quarterback, and they're going to need a quarterback quick.
Super Samantha Bradford?
Yeah, Super Samantha Bradford. So somebody's starting quarterback is going to get hurt, and then they're going to need him quick. So it's like they're going to be over the barrel. But right now you have two teams in a posturing for him, but you still have some other quarterbacks out there. Because once the other quarterbacks are gone, and once a couple of these teams fix their quarterback situation, it's too late.
Exactly.
So it's like you can posture all you want to, but you need to take the highest bid and we'll go on about your business and quit trying to posture before you end up with a fucked up situation with him still being here because you don't want to make that move.
Is he that stubborn? Do we have something to worry about here?
Yes, we do. I think he's that stubborn. I think he's going to try to roll the dice. He's a bit of a gambler, but it's like you're damned if you do, if you're damned if you don't. I feel like we should get at least a first, a second, and a third round pick just to compensate for the salary that we got that we're going to have on our books so that we can fix some holes in our team. I was like, but to titillate that we going to get two first rounders for somebody who doesn't want to be here and you kind of don't want him here. you're over the barrel because the closer you get to the draft.
Start over with that. We had a pause there in so you said first, second, and third round so we can cover some of the expenses and plug some of the holes we have. Go
right, and then also if you continue to wait, the closer we get to the draft, and the more they see of these other guys, they're gonna go with the younger, cheaper guy, and somebody that they could groom. So it's true, you do know what Carson can do, but you do know his shortcomings, and he's already paid, and he's going to count for a lot against your books. Do you want that, or do you want a rookie that you can mold into what you want, who's looking to be eager and coachable? Or do you want to go with this? Because right now, some of the teams are going to want to go with Carson. Mainly because Carson, they know what Carson can do, and they feel like they can fix Carson. They feel like they can get him back to their 2017 MVP style. And it's just, you know, it's just a catch 22 when you're looking at the way that they're playing this game of roulette. It's like you try to get other teams involved to drive the price up, but at what point do you sell?
This is what you have, bro. This is what's going on.
Yeah, I know.
Here we go.
Yeah,
you can get with this or you can get with that.
Yep, that's what it is right now. And then you already know that the Texans are not, they haven't even entertained any offers for Deshaun Watson.
I mean, Deshaun Watson has hurt his marketability almost as much as Carson has, although at least Carson's keeping his mouth shut. And that's what the only plus in this equation right now.
Yeah. And then it's like he's the best thing going, and a lot of people are going to be coming after him. And with some quality deals, the teams that truly want him are going to come with the over-the-top deal. They're going to look at all the other deals that they think that you've got. They're going to come with something a little bit better. And hopefully he pulls the trigger and takes it.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
That's why the word got out the way it did, because they wanted the other suitors who would actually want Carson. They wanted the other suitors to come up and make a pitch for it, so they could see what it actually is going to take to get to pry him away from our fingers.
You're breaking up again, bro.
Sorry about that.
No, well, yelling isn't going to help. That actually distorts more. But
okay, is it better now?
No, I don't know what it is. It's definitely distortion here, internet distortion or something. And that always happens to us as we get later into our show. I don't know why that's the case.
Okay.
But let's do this. Let's call it a day before we have any more technical issues.
Okay.
We'll continue this conversation on Thursday when we tape Saturday's show. Again, 6 to 8 on Thursday. Yeah. Everybody, Tank, you got anything you want to get off your chest?
Nah, I pretty much got off my chest. It's one thing. The next time that they put some bullshit-ass officials into a Super Bowl like that and start marketing them and stuff, I'm going to shit the fan. I mean, I'm just going to shit in the fan and just blow it on Roger Goodell. Because they pumped up that entire staff the entire time, and they threw the flags were 8-1. I can understand you being ticky-tacky, but be ticky-tacky on both sides so it doesn't look like the game is on a fucking fix.
Yeah, I hear you, man. I hear you. The only thing I have to get off my chest is that we got to put up with Super Sam for another year, hoping for the demise of one Tom Brady. And that's going to be a challenge in and of itself. But, brother, appreciate doing this with you, as always, my friend.
All right, babe. Love you. See you later.
All right. Prediction? Captain Debs, you want prediction? Pain. Everybody, Green Legion Radio, the Get Tanked Happy Hour with NFL legend Hollis Tank Thomas and myself. Appropriate, since we're doing these shows on Tuesday now. You guys will see on Thursday's taping of Green Legion Radio for Fox Sports The Gambler, 102.5 FM, Philadelphia. Appreciate you being with us as long as you have. Have a great couple days, and we'll see you soon.